up to the 1500. So, all right. So now we get to move to our next guest. And, wow, what did I do? Oh, I gave you my sheet. I need my sheet back. I need my cheat sheet back. Sorry. Okay.
I kind of like this cowbell.
You get to ring it. You do whenever we meet our goals. So, yeah, so it's a cowbell, but it's still awesome, and we get to celebrate. And so we are in our second day of our pledge drive, and we are in the last couple of hours of that second day of our pledge drive. And so we need for everyone to give us a call at 678-688-4549. Our next guest, when we do these local pledge drives, we get to invite in local guests. And our next guest is Father Martin Connor. He is the local director of Regnum Christi, and we are grateful for you to be here with us today.
Good to be here at Quest. Very excited for all you guys and your team here that you're building. It's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. They are doing an amazing job. So we always begin with prayer. We know all good things begin with prayer. So would you start us with a prayer for this next hour?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the great gift of our faith and all that you grant us each day, the many, many blessings to our families and to our community, to our church. We pray in a special way for Quest and all the people participating in this rally call to evangelize and catechize and teach the faith, teach the gospel to so many here, not just in Atlanta, but all over Georgia. We entrust this prayer to our loving Mother in Heaven, Mary. We ask for her intercession and blessing over all those who participate in this endeavor. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we are in, like I said, we're in day two of our pledge drive. We are talking with Father Martin Connor. He's with Regnum Christi. He's the local director for that. So a few housekeeping rules, Father, before we get started. You get to ring that cowbell.
Woohoo!
If we meet some goals.
Okay.
So our pledge amount, our matching pledge, we have four people that have given us matching pledges to use over the 3 days. And basically what they're saying is they want to give you this money, they want to give it to the Quest, but they want other people to join in that effort.
Absolutely.
And so our next match this hour, holy cow, you're one of the biggest ones here. We're going to $1,600.
Let's make it happen this next hour, people.
We can do it. So $1,600 is what we need during this hour. If we can get $1,600 called in, it turns into $3,200 Catholic Radio. So we are going to try and do that, and it can be a monthly pledge. If you call in as a monthly pledge, then we give you these beautiful Immaculate Heart and Sacred Heart prints.
Nice.
And we would absolutely love to give one to you with a monthly donation of any amount. And if you call in with $100 a month for 3 years, you're what they call a founder of Catholic Radio. So you get your name on a plaque that will be here at the studio forever. You can say you're a founder of Catholic Radio, and you can even put it in your obituary someday. And you get to ring the bell. You absolutely get to ring the bell.
Well, let's do that. Not quite too. That was too, a little bit too soon.
That's all right. It was a practice run.
Fair
so. So we ring the bell when we get a founder. We ring the bell if we get a goal. If we get both, you ring it twice. If we get a founder, you do get to ring it twice because you ring it for the founder.
I have a good sense that this hour is going to be fruitful. I don't know what something's just telling me. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am with you. So we've prayed. We've started. So now let's go ahead and start. You know, whenever I do these pledge drives, when people call in and make a pledge, they ask, what effect has Catholic Radio had on you or your family? Many times a young man will call in and say, I'm more seriously considering the priesthood because of what I heard from the vocation stories.
Right.
So I always like to start with the vocation story. We want to definitely talk about Legionaries of Christ, Regnum Christi. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But let's start with the vocation story.
Great. So my vocation is linked more to, let's just say, the family, the spiritual family of Regnum Christi, than it is actually to the priesthood. Why? Because early on in my childhood, let's say when I was 12 or 13, I had an experience. Let's just put it that way. And basically what I sensed in myself was that I was going to be part of a great family, a great spiritual family. I was going to do something great for God. It wasn't a call to the priesthood, like, hey, you're going to be a priest, you're going to live in Atlanta, you're going to work here, you're going to be in a parish, whatever. It wasn't that at all. It was more, much more towards kind of like a spiritual family calling. So when I did run into the Legionaries and Reagan Christie, it was pretty much a confirmation of what I had in me for many, many years. And that wasn't until I was out of college, so, you know, probably 10 years or so, when I finally met them and heard about their mission and realized, wow, these people are committed, they're enthusiastic, they want to do something great for God, and what do I need to do, right, to get involved? So that's definitely a short answer of my vocation, but it was definitely, that was the beginnings of it, that first inspiration when I was just a young man at 12 or 13 years old, and then that grew through high school and college. Of course, I had all the normal realities of a young man with girlfriends and all that, but I was always a little bit restless about it. Mm. I remember when I was at, I went to school at Boston College and studied philosophy there, and I had a friend of mine who was with me, born and raised in Annapolis, Maryland, and she was one of three that came up from Maryland to Boston with me. And she came up to me at a party. This is probably my junior year. And I was talking to a number of young women. And she came up in front of all of them and said, "Don't worry about him. He's going to be a priest."
Ah.
Of course, I wanted to strangle her in the moment, but I, you know, I controlled myself. And so those are kind of the, they were the rumblings of something that maybe I didn't want to listen to exteriorly, but interiorly I knew that, you know, I needed to be honest with God. And so when I left Boston College, that was the year of great discernment when I decided to give him the first shot.
Yes, yes. And then the rest is history, so to speak.
Yeah, I pretty much entered in 1990 and was visiting, and I didn't have to stay very long before I realized this is exactly what I wanted. It was a group of young, zealous Catholic men who wanted just to be holy priests and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much our mission, is to engage in culture and change it for the good of the gospel. So when I saw it and rubbed shoulders with these young men, I was like, amazing. And I never really looked back, and I only knew them a very short period of time before I decided to stay. So it was pretty quick in as regards to the discernment piece, you know, that last leg.
Okay. So here's the deal, Father. About statistically, about 50% of our listeners are not Catholic.
Okay.
25% are fallen away Catholic. 25% of us are the blue collar Catholics.
Okay.
So when we say Regnum Christi, they may have no clue.
You and many, many other people. So let me explain that. So Regnum Christi is Latin for Kingdom of Christ, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we are one of many ecclesial movements, so we call them renewal movements in the Catholic Church, kind of a phenomena that has been probably about 100 years going on in the Church. Nothing new in the Catholic Church, because you have other moments in the Church of the history of the Church where you have renewal movements. For example, the 5th and 6th century with the fall of Rome and the Benedictine movement, the monastic movement, where you had St. Benedict beginning to found these small group communities, you could say, that salvaged culture and spirituality and education all through Europe, and were bastions of community and renewal throughout Europe and beyond. So that was one moment in the history of the Church of renewal. Then you scroll forward and look at 12th and 13th century, and you have the mendicant movement. Mendicare, mendicant, mm-hmm. that means beggar, to beg, right? And that was the kind of the spirit of poverty of the Franciscans and the Dominicans that were mendicant movements, renewal movements in the Catholic Church in the 12th, 13th, 14th century, around there, where an answer to a lot of human depravity, right, in the Church and outside the Church. Scroll forward to the 16th century, and you have, unfortunately, the Reformation that's rocked the Catholic Church, and then you have the movement of the Company of Jesus, the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and then you have the 20th century, the secular agenda, the secular movement, which has unfortunately had such terrible damage to marriage and family and to the Christian fiber of culture in so many ways, not just here in the United States, but all over. And the renewal movements, the ecclesial movements, are an answer of the Holy Spirit to these times. And the Regnum Christi is one of those movements. We were founded in 1941, and most of the movements have been founded somewhere between the 1920s, 1930s, and keep being founded up to this day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. So that gives us a little bit of history of Regnum Christi and a little bit about how you got involved. What is it exactly that drew you into it? It was just all of a sudden you've saw Regnum Christi and you went, or how did you get involved?
Well, so a little clarification. The Regnum Christi is made up of four branches.
Okay.
So the Legionaries of Christ are the priestly branch. We're actually a canonical religious order. We're a little bit of a new creature in the Catholic Church. There isn't even established canon law numbers that take into account, you know, some of the things that are going on in the church. The newer spiritual families are really new. Mm-hmm. And so canon law is trying to adapt itself, and will have to adapt itself to how the Holy Spirit's working. So we're a canonical religious order, like the Franciscans or the Dominicans, but we find ourselves part of a bigger spiritual family called Regnum Christi, which has consecrated men and women as a second and third branch. Mm-hmm. And then we have lay people. Mm-hmm. Families, young people that make up this umbrella called Regnum Christi. So the Legionaries are the priestly branch, and I met them. What I described as my first encounter was with a number of Legionaries, and their expression or their explanation of the mission that we're called to in the church. And I got fired up. I was really excited about guys who wanted to be holy, and guys who wanted to do something great for Christ and build a church in the world and change the world. You know, when you're young, you have you think big. You want to do something great. And so obviously in my 20s, when I ran into all these young men who were thinking like this, I was like, wow, I didn't see this. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't see this in the diocese. I didn't see this in the other communities that I visited. This was just really special. So that really drew me in. Probably the enthusiasm, the passion, the balance. They were balanced young men. They played sports and they had a great time. But they were rock solid in so many ways. Great Marian devotion, very Eucharistic centered, prayerful. The more I got to know them, the more I was interested in taking that step.
Excellent. Okay. So again, for our listeners, if you want to call in, we would love to have your pledges right now, 678-688-4549. Likewise, if you would like to just call in and say, Father Martin, we hear you. Or do you go Father Martin or Father Connor? Which one?
Father Martin.
Father Martin. We hear you. We love you. We appreciate you. If you can make a pledge at the same time, wonderful. But if you want to just call and give him a message, I really like that. So give us a call. Make a pledge. Just give a message to Father Martin. Do both. Either way, just give us a call. 678-688-4549. Father Martin is the local director of Regnum Christi. We've just heard from him that entails four branches. It's the three branches: the priests, the consecrated men and women, and the lay people. Yes?
Four. Well, we count the consecrated men and women as two branches.
Two. Okay. So we do have four. So I was right,
yeah, you're right.
But I said it wrong. So, okay. So he is the director of all of that. So what does the director of all of that do?
Right. So we have 20. So what we break up the United States or the North America territory into is what we call localities. So I'm the Regnum Christi local director, or the director of the locality in the Southeast region. And there's 27 localities that we look after in North America. And my locality goes from Nashville, Tennessee, all the way down to Miami, Florida, up to Greensboro, North Carolina. That's the locality that I look after and that I coordinate. So I coordinate lay leaders in about 12 cities that are Catholics, just like most of our listeners, right? And who are engaged in the mission of the church. They want to evangelize. They want renewal. They want to see people find their mission in life. So that's one of the big pieces, is that we want to invite people to discover their mission in life, and which is ultimately the fulfillment of their Christian baptismal vocation, right? That new life in Christ, I have come to bring you life and life to the full. That's what we want. Integrated, life-giving human beings. That's what makes the world happy. And that's what we're committed to.
Excellent. One of our volunteers, I guess, over there is writing me a question to ask you. So they're doing my job for me, and I love that. Okay. I love it when people do my job for me. And they are saying, is it true that your younger brother is your boss?
I hate to say it. I hate to say it. I know. This is a little very sensitive subject. The answer is yes. So my younger brother, who joined a year after me in 1991, and both of us were ordained together in Rome in 2001, he is now the North American director. Okay. I'm just a little locality, a little poor man on the.
I don't know if that's a poor man on the totem pole. I don't know. So
yes, he is, and he's based here in our national headquarters is here in Atlanta. So his community is here in Atlanta as well as mine. We're in different communities. He is here, doesn't spend a lot of time here because he travels so much. But it is true. My younger brother is my boss. God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, and a shout out from Pat.
Pat Tremonti. Good man that he is. Yes,
he
Patrick.
Says, say
thank
hi
you.
To Father. So,
thank you, Pat.
So thank you, Pat, for calling in and doing that. If anybody else has a message for Father, if you can make a pledge, great. If you can't, great. Just give us a call. 678-688-4549. We want to support Father. He is here supporting Catholic Radio. We want to make sure that we support him. So give us a call. And call in his honor. If you can make a pledge, great. If you can't, that's okay. All right, so we are talking about Regnum Christi. He is the local director for Regnum Christi, which translates Kingdom of Christ.
Correct.
For those listening. So what are some of the ways that Regnum Christi supports and builds up the church here in Atlanta?
Yes, so we do that in many, many ways. Primarily, what we do first is we invite people. It goes back to Mark chapter 3, where Christ calls his apostles to himself. He drew them into a small group, like the 12 apostles. He loved them. He educated them. He taught them. And then he prepared to send them out for a mission. So the Regnum Christi does very much that. That's kind of like our charismatic link to the gospel. Like, you know, you have the Franciscans who are very much identified with the poverty of our Lord, or the teaching Christ, the Dominicans, right? With the legionaries in Regnum Christi, we're very much about this encounter with Christ, this calling that he gives to each of us. The intimacy of a family, of a small group. We have our formations very based in small groups for men and women. And then the preparation, the education, the catechesis, the formation of lay people so that they can find their mission in life and fulfill their mission in life. And we send them out in whatever they think God's calling them to. It could be marriage work, it could be youth work, it could be catechesis. The gamut is across the board on the different possibilities that lay people can be engaged in the life of the church. So what we try to do is create the nurturing of that response to Christ and give them, let's say, tool them for that mission. So if I'm working in my parish, or I'm working in the diocese, or I'm working even in my, you know, bank or whatever, and I'm working with people who believe or don't believe, we want to make sure that they're the best possible Christian disciple they can be in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. And we do that through our formation. And so our formation entails, as I already mentioned, a small group called An Encounter with Christ, where lay people meet weekly, usually on the gospel of the coming Sunday. And they take also the let's just say life experiences, and they try to adopt the gospel principles to those life experiences. This is a very particular dynamic to the encounter with Christ, which just basically helps them live the gospel in their daily life. There's also monthly and yearly formation through evenings for men and women that involve mass and confession and reflections that help them go deeper in their spiritual life. Teaching them how to pray, teaching them to understand what the sacramental life's all about, how to be the best men as fathers, as spouses, best mothers, And then also married, the married work that we do, and of course, families. We want to touch the family at every single level. So we work with men, we work with women, we work with married couples, we work with the entire family. And each of them plays a very crucial part in the renewal of the culture, right? When the family is the domestic church. So if you can look after that beautiful core that is so central to the foundation of a healthy society, you're going to have a great future ahead of you. So we're really dedicated to that process of bringing people into that encounter with Christ, taking that encounter and unpacking it, making it real for them through different aspects of our formation that we give them, and that so that they can go then and confidently share that in their own family reality, in their extended community, parish reality, and then beyond in their own work and social circles.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So we're getting another message here, and I'll give that in just a minute. I need to give out the phone number because we would love to get some phone calls coming in. We're trying to get to $1,600. And if we can do that, then our match will come in and it's another $1,600, turns into $3,200 for Catholic Radio. And because Catholic Radio uses your money so effectively, we can reach a potential 3.1 million listeners with this signal. That's how far-reaching. Plus, we can go online with the Quest online app, and we can further reach listeners. I think there's about 1,400 people that have been listening regularly on the app. So there's a real potential for reaching a whole lot of people through Catholic Radio for a very little amount of money. So really, when you call in and you make a pledge, you can be assured that it's all volunteer, actually, here with even Annie, who was here with me yesterday, 14 hours yesterday, all volunteer. She is completely volunteer here at the station because they want the money that you give to Catholic Radio to go for the intended purpose, which is to save souls. And that's what Catholic Radio is doing. We hear over and over again the amount of people who have come back to the faith, you know, the 35 years, you know, gone back to confession, have entered the church every day. This might interest you as a priest. Every day, the statistics, not here at the Quest, but across Catholic Radio, the statistics show that every day one Protestant minister, not just Protestant, but Protestant minister, calls the Journey Home or Catholic Answers every day to find out about coming into the Catholic Church.
Amazing.
That's the kind of evangelization that we have. And that's why we sit here and we give the number over and over again. And we ask people to call in because we see the lives that are being changed. You know, most of all, what we're doing is we're dispelling a lot of the misunderstanding out there about the Catholic Church. Because you probably encounter so many people do not know the faith. Even Catholics do not know the faith. We had a priest that came in, I think it was yesterday, and he said, you know, I've got this advanced degree in theology and all of that. I still listen to Catholic Radio and learn something, you know? And so I think we all can learn if we just open up and let the Holy Spirit work through the airwaves. The airwaves are only possible, though, if we call in and we make a pledge because they don't stay on for free. You know, we can have some volunteers that give their time for free, but it doesn't stay on for free. So we have our first pledge of this hour, and that is Pat. And he donated $100 in honor of Father Martin.
Wow. And well done, Pat. You're a good man.
Exactly. He's already a
monthly
contributor.
Do I get to ring the bell?
No, not
God
yet.
Bless Doggone. Okay.
$1,500 more and we ring the bell.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Or somebody that calls in as a founder, you ring it twice because we ring for founder and we ring for meeting the pledge.
Okay.
So Pat said he's already a monthly contributor, but he called in an extra $100 for you.
Pat, I want to just thank you from the deepest part of my heart. It was good seeing you on Sunday. Thank you for chipping in here, brother.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so we are talking with Father Martin Connor. He's a priest with the Legionaries of Christ, and he's also the local director of Regnum Christi here in Atlanta and beyond. You've got your whole local region that you cover.
Yes.
And so we're finding out a lot about that. What have some of your assignments been besides right here? You know, you haven't been just in Atlanta. How long have you been a priest?
So I entered the Legionaries in 1990, took my first vows in 1992.
Okay.
And was ordained to the priesthood in 2001.
Okay.
And spent my first almost 8 years in Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
That's right, a bit of the brogue there. and was in charge of all of our work in Ireland and the United Kingdom. So I was basically the coordinator, the local coordinator over there for Ireland and England from basically 2000 before my ordination until almost 2008.
Yeah.
And then in 2008, I came back to the States and worked for 3 years in the Midwest as the chaplain to our father-son clubs called Conquest, mm-hmm. which Conquest are clubs that try to help connect the important leadership of fathers with their boys and introduce them into a friendship with Christ, which is what ECYD does, which is the youth side of Regnum Christi, which is experiences, choices, and your decisions. That's what ECYD means. And it tries to introduce that encounter with Christ, like I said, we're very big on that, introducing that important moment to the life of a young person in Conquest. And then we have a girl's side called Challenge. But I was in charge of the father-son side in the northern part of Ohio and parts of Michigan and parts of Indiana for a couple years before I arrived in Atlanta in 2010. I've been here since 2010.
Okay. All right. So you may know my friend who is Brother Ramon Rodriguez.
Brother Ramon Rodriguez. It is not ringing a bell,
no.
But I'm sure he's
well,
there.
Well, I come from Kansas City, so you may not have been in your region, but I thought when you said Indiana, because I know they went and did a lot of
retreats,
like
and
summer
out there.
Camps,
yeah,
and different
things
in Indiana. So
okay.
Yeah, so
good
excellent.
Stuff.
Okay, so next question. You said, how long had you been in Atlanta? How long have you been here now?
Since 2010. I wasn't always local director. I started out working with our college students.
Okay.
So because as some of you may or may not know, the Legionaries have worked in two specific schools in the Archdiocese. One is Pinecrest Academy, which was founded in the early 90s by Regnum Christi members themselves. So we're chaplains to that school, which is up in Cumming, Georgia. And we're also chaplains to Holy Spirit Prep, which is down in the perimeter Buckhead area. And because we've been in those schools for so long, and we do what we do, which is accompany our members or the people that are want to grow in their faith, then after high school, what happens, right? You go off to college. So a lot of our work continues beyond high school for these young men and women who want to stay in touch with us. And so when I arrived to Atlanta back in 2010, that was the first thing I did, was accompany the graduates or those who had been part of some of our youth programs, whether they were in our schools or not, who were here locally in Atlanta, Georgia Tech, UGA, GCSU. I went up to Belmont in the Carolinas as well. We went over to Nashville. So it was definitely that type of work for the first couple of years I was here in Atlanta, is spiritual direction for these young people, retreats, again, just helping them figure out their next steps in life. And so that's what I did for my first couple of years. And then as a second of apostolate, some of our work here, I was chaplain to the Lumen Institute. What is the Lumen Institute? Lumen Institute is one of the Regnum Christi apostolates in the United States. It was actually founded by my brother, Father John Connor, in New York City back close to 2000. And it was to give highly personalized formation to entrepreneurs or to leaders in the marketplace. And so we have a chapter here in Atlanta. I think there's 14 members, and they have monthly what would they call a leadership circle. They get regular spiritual coaching from the chaplain. They do an annual retreat, and we basically coach them in the right type of leadership that our world is so desperately in need of in the business place, right? So we have 7 chapters of Lumen in the United States. Obviously, Atlanta is just one of the many. We also are beginning a Hispanic chapter here in Atlanta very soon. But so important for the future of this country when you have the right leadership, as we know from everything we've been dealing with of current nature, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So that was the Lumen Institute. I'm still chaplain there, and then I was also involved maybe 4 years ago for a couple years with chaplaining the Regnum Christi men. What does that mean? That means the formal members of the movement who you know, take the step of formal membership into the movement. They receive regular formation, so I was in charge of helping organize that here locally in Atlanta and beyond in the locality, so that the lay people get what they need and can be what they're called to be in their own Catholic communities, right? I did that for a while, and then I'm now continue to be chaplain for the Lumen Institute, as well as the local director for the Southeast region.
Excellent. Okay. Well, our next update here leads me to my next question, and I'll tell you the full message here in a little bit. But she's saying that she read your book, so I didn't realize you wrote a book. What book did you write?
I did. I wrote a book. Maybe about 4 years ago now, called 10 Reflections on the Kingdom. You can get it on Amazon in English and Spanish. And it is basically a summary of the spirituality and mission of the Legionaries and Regnum Christi. It's a very simple essays, kind of put in very simple language for, you know, your listeners out there who may not have all the church language figured out, or may not even be Catholic or understand how the church works and how movements, you know, what does a movement mean and all that kind of stuff that we know not everybody understands. So it talks about the key principles that kind of move the Legionaries and Regnum Christi to do what they do for the church. So, yeah.
Okay. So Betty Ann called to give you a shout out and to thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
For all that you do. And she says after reading your book, that the 10 Reflections of the Kingdom, she couldn't part with it, and she had to buy another copy for her daughter. So she's saying thank you for that.
Thank you for saying that.
All right, and so far we are at $100 called in, and so we need $1,500 more, and then we turn it into $3,200 for Catholic Radio, and we have about 25 minutes to do that in, so come on, let's
do this, people. Come on, open up those wallets. Let it flow. Come on now.
We want to ring the bell. Come on.
That's right, I want to ring this yellow cowbell in front of me.
678-688-4549. You can call, you can donate online at thequestatlanta.com, thequestatlanta.com. Give us a call or donate online, either way. But please, let's get these phone lines going. And I love the messages for Father. I absolutely love that. So thank you to everyone who's calling in and giving a message to Father as well. So, you know, I'm thinking, we talked a little bit about your vocation story, but we didn't talk about, I don't think, how many were in your family. But I happen to know that I think I read eight children.
Yep.
25% are priests.
Yep. So the last two, number 7 and number 8, are priests. I have 5 older sisters. I know you're all, you know, being, you know, praying for me because of that reality. Older sisters are good women. They know how to form those young boys, right? 5 older sisters and then 3 boys at the end. So it was quite an interesting household, the Connor household.
Yes.
Growing up. But, you know, when you have that many in a house, it's kind of like two families, because you have the older portion of the family, and then they go on, and then you have the younger portion. So it's almost like two realities. It was a tremendously beautiful experience. And my one thing, and I'll just one story I think I'd like to mention, because it's kind of indicative, and it's good for young families to hear this who are trying to raise their kids in these times. My mom and dad were interviewed on EWTN.
How awesome.
Yeah.
Because they have 2 priests.
Because 6 months before we were ordained, somebody found out that we were going to be ordained together in Rome. And so it contacted them and said, hey, why don't you do an interview with us? And you can tell us a secret about 2 priests, right?
Yeah.
So I'll never forget my mother calling me up and saying, so tell me what I'm supposed to say. Yeah. What did I do to... She didn't even have the answer. And she was all nervous about what am I going to say. And I said, no, don't worry about it, mother. You'll be fine. So, but my brother and I at the time began to reflect on this question. Like, what was it in our upbringing? What was it in the Counter household that really was important for us then to consider the call? And we came up with 3 things.
Okay, I'm ready.
First, honesty. My parents instilled in us an open and transparent and honest dialogue across the board. Mm-hmm. At least they tried to, however imperfect that was. Honesty was very important. didn't put up with any duplicity or any lying or, you know, that kind of stuff that goes on so often, you know, with young people, it's very common. So honesty was the first. The second was hard work. Mm-hmm. Big family, everybody's got to pitch in. So my father and my mother were just amazing examples of people who knew what a good day's work was, mm-hmm. and were not afraid to embrace it, right? Mm-hmm. And the third was responsibility, mm-hmm. that we had to be responsible for our commitments. Mm-hmm. You know, there was none of this, let me start soccer and see how it goes, and if I don't like it, I quit. Uh-uh, mm-hmm. brother, you're finishing it out, right? Or I remember I always tell the story of when I was 12 and I had a dental appointment. And I was supposed to walk from my school to the dental appointment. The dentist was nearby and completely forgot. My mother told me, don't forget the dental appointment. So I come home and she's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm doing here? And she goes, you have a dentist appointment. Oh, I completely forgot. Well, we'll just make another one. And she goes, no, pick up the phone. You call the dentist. You apologize and you make the appointment. Mm-hmm. This is 12 years old. I was shaking in my boots. Mm-hmm. But I'll never forget it. Yeah. And it never happened again. Yeah. And let me just tell you, my spirit of responsibility was spiked on that day.
Yeah.
So just simple things. It wasn't like, you know, we were praying the rosary every day or going to mass every day. Even those are beautiful practices. It wasn't that. It was kind of more the human formation, mm-hmm. kind of the nuts and bolts of good, healthy family life that were kind of the nurturing, the good soil that the Lord sowed in years later for the vocation of myself and my younger brother.
Awesome. Really, really good. And there's probably some I would venture to say, and I'll give out the number again after I ask this question. I would venture to say, though, there's probably some people out there that are saying, you know, I taught my kids honesty. I taught my kids hard work. I taught my kids responsibility. They're not in the church anymore. What would you say? What you know?
So I would say a couple of things. One is I think it's really important that we believe in the seed that we've given our children. Mm. So if you can say with all honesty before the Lord that you really dotted your I's and crossed your T's in raising your kids, then you should really be at peace. Because you know that seed is in them. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, it may not be appearing right now at 18 or 22 or 25, but that seed is in them. And if it's exposed to the right light and the right fertilizer, that seed is going to resprout. So first of all, a lot of confidence, a lot of faith in what you've given your children, mm-hmm. right? And even if you haven't done that, even if it was 50%, even if it was 25%, your good and committed example now, particularly the men, no hard feelings, ladies, but the men, and you know it already, the men, the fathers of those families are absolutely crucial in the impact of faith in the life of their children. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even have to listen to me. Just go to the stats on sociology. If you have a strong, prayerful, spiritual man, it's astounding the impact that makes on children. Mm-hmm. So even if you weren't that when they were growing up, and now you found your faith, and now you're in your 40s or 50s or whatever, the impact that can have on your children, yes, it's going to be different. But you men, you fathers, you can, and you can produce that impact by your fidelity right now, your faithfulness now to our Lord and to His church. So I encourage you to stay the course, to have a lot of faith, to trust Him and His plan, because His plan is much better than our plan. We just have to keep reminding ourselves of that, and all will be well.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. That seems to be, I think, the most common thing that I hear from parents is, you know, I think I did okay. I did what I thought I was supposed to do, and they're away from the church. And so that, I think that helps quite a bit, maybe some of our listeners that were good following that. All right. So 678-688-4549, 678-688-4549. That is the number to call. 678-688-4549. You can call that number if you want to make a pledge. We would love to have that right now. We have $100 called in. We're trying to get to $1,600 to turn it into $3,200 because of the generosity of that matching pledge. If we get $1,600, when we get $1,600, then it becomes $3,200 for Catholic Radio. So we could really use your help right now, whatever amount that you can give. If you can give the full $1,500 that remains, that's awesome. If you can only give a part of it, that's awesome. Whatever you can give. So $1,200, that would be two people at $50 a month. And then what would we need? $300. So one person at $30 a month, and we're over the top. Give us a call right now at 678-688-4549, especially if we could get those, what did I say, one $30 a month donor and two $50 a month donors. So two $50s and one $30 will put us over the top, and we will get this matching pledge and turn it into $3,200 for Catholic Radio. But we really, really, really just need your help. If you will call in at whatever level that you can give at. Also, if you want to give Father a message, you do not have to make a pledge in order to do that. Give us a call and give him a message and say, Father, we really appreciate hearing you on the air and all that you do. So whatever it is, just give us a call. We only have until 4:57 with Father, so we need to do it quick. If you want to give in his honor, you need to do that quickly. We are talking with Father Martin Connor. He is Regnum Christi local director, and we've been talking about a whole lot of really wonderful things. How can we as lay people, what should we be doing to support vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life? What can we be doing to do that? Not necessarily in our own families, maybe it's somebody, but it could be in our families. And we talked about that with your mom.
That's right.
But you know, if we see somebody that we think, you know, wow, they really seem like they would make a great priest, what should we be doing?
So a couple things to keep in mind, and I don't think that what I'm going to say is going to be so earth-shattering new, but if you remember Archbishop Donahue, one of the most important things he did when he arrived, and I was not here when he arrived, but I had heard this, was set up Eucharistic Adoration Chapels all over. And I think that has been an amazing catalyst for vocations, for holy families, for all kinds of tremendous spiritual fruitfulness in the archdiocese here. So one of the things that I try to encourage a lot of people to do is to offer Eucharistic adoration for vocations, to gather circles of lay people or families and do a 30 minutes or do a holy 15 minutes or do a full hour. You can turn it into a social, a family social, by beginning with some adoration and then going on beyond that to have something to eat or whatever. But to introduce Eucharistic adoration as often and as frequently to family life is so crucial to the future of vocations to the church. And I know many are doing that, and many parishes here in Atlanta have that going on. But I think we need to capitalize even more on those incredible sources of grace that so many parishes have. I think the parishes need to take better advantage of that. And I think maybe some of our listeners, if they have a love for that particular type of devotion, could really do more to possibly organize activities around it. Right. So that's the first thing. That obviously is simply the power of prayer. Right. Mm-hmm. Secondly, is I think what's really important is also the question. Right? The invitation, right? Christ always proposes. He never imposes. And I think that's for every priest, that's for every consecrated person, that's for every lay person. We can always propose. By proposing, it doesn't mean you're imposing, right? You're not forcing anybody into the seminary or putting a collar on by saying, hey, you know what? You might consider being a priest, or you might consider following Christ with your life as a consecrated woman or as a sister or whatever, right? I think that simple invitation is obviously the most basic introduction to the idea. I'll never forget when I was growing up, my mother, only one time do I remember her ever mentioning the idea of the priesthood. It was my brother and I, and we were on this trip up to see my grandmother, her mother. And I remember her looking back in the rearview mirror, and we had just said a prayer for the road, and she turned and looked back to us and said, "Boys, I don't want you to ever not consider the possibility that God might be calling you." She said it one time, she never said it again, and that was enough, right? I'm not saying that you can only say it once or you can only say it twice, but in my case, she did ask. In that case, she did propose, and that for me was absolutely huge years later. I remember that moment very well. It's sowed a very important memory in me, and I just think it goes back to the fact that if we are just cognizant that that's where it begins. It just doesn't begin with the priest, right, inviting young men. It invites all, the mission of the church is all of ours, right? And we have a responsibility to be with the eyes and the, so to speak, the ears of the church out there for young men or women who could be those future priests and consecrated men and women of the church. So,
excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so an update here. Pat, I think I told you, Pat donated $100 in honor of Father Martin, and he's already a monthly donor. Betty Ann called in to shout for Father Martin. We talked about that, the 10 Reflections book. Hello to Father Martin from Heidi and Ken. They just gave a donation of $100, and they are already station founders. So they gave an additional $100.
Thank you, Ken and Heidi.
That's awesome. So we are now at $225 called in. So that means that we are $1,375 away from getting this matching pledge. Just $1,375, and it becomes $3,200 for Catholic Radio. But if you want to give it on Father Martin's clock, you got to hurry. You got to hurry, because we only
time
have
time is ticking away.
It is. Tick, tick, tick.
I want to read this. I want to ring this yellow cowbell.
We want him to ring this yellow cowbell. We absolutely do. I have a different, fancier bell that I normally travel with, and I left it at home.
I like
so
this
one
bell.
Of
this
our
is,
volunteers.
This is fancy. I
it
like
is.
This.
You know, we don't have anything fancy here. It's all borrowed. And so we are very grateful for the volunteer that brought in the bell for us. It's got the smiley face on one side, and what does it say on the other?
It says "Do it now."
Do it
on the
now.
Other side. Yep.
So we want to ring it. We absolutely want to. And we're getting another message here from Betty Ann. So we'll see what Betty Ann has to say there. But we'll give out the number again, and it is 678-688-4549. And Betty Ann gave a $25 one-time donation. I'm assuming it's the same one as earlier. It says that she's from St. Bridget's. So
okay.
I don't know
okay.
if it's the same one as earlier or not, but she gave a $25 donation. So that is earlier, it didn't list a donation. So we now have $250 towards our matching pledge. So that means that we just need $1,350. That's it. So come on, let's do it. We can absolutely do this. We have about 7 minutes. So give us a call, or I guess 10 minutes. We have about 10 minutes until we go to a break, and then we'll be welcoming our next guest. And our next guest is Father Henry Atim, and he is the pastor at St. George Catholic Church. He is part of the leadership team for Catholics Come Home, and he's the vice president of African Conference of Catholic Clergy. So we'll be talking with him at 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, we're going to have several teens that are going to come in and talk about God and music and how they evangelize through their music. So give us a call. Right now is the time in order to help us to ring the bell in Father Martin's honor. We are talking with Father Martin Connor, and he is the local director of Regnum Christi. We're finding out all about that. So give us some an idea of how we can also, we talked about how we can support seminarians and encourage seminarians. What can we do for you as a priest and for your brother priests? What can we do to really show you your support?
So I want to just say, first of all, I think I speak for a lot of priests in the Archdiocese with everything we've been experiencing over the last months, how many feel very affirmed and validated by their flock. And thanks be to God, right? Because we're taking a lot of hits. It's not easy to be on the front lines, and there's a lot of indignation and people are upset. So, but many, many priests feel so validated by the love and affection of their flock. So I just want to, first of all, thank all of our listeners who have done that and have been very intentional about that, you don't realize the power of that. So that's where I begin. You need to continue to do that, right? And one of the things that everybody recognizes about the priesthood today is that priests need you, right? And if they don't, then something's wrong, right? We're relational beings, and just because we're called to the celibate life doesn't mean a man is an island, right? No, we need community, we need friendship, and we need fraternity and all of that good stuff. So I would really encourage one and all to remember that, to continue to stay close to your priests, to pray for them, obviously, to offer, you know, spiritual bouquets or whatever the many, many things that people have tried to do over the last, we have these beautiful little postcards that we send out that has a Eucharist on the front. And it says, I did a holy hour for you this week. Just beautiful little touch points that you can, you know, things like that. You can send little notes that really are very consoling and validating for a priest. So I think that would be one thing. I'm not sure if the priests need more food, right? you guys already treat us well too much as it is. But I think that closeness to them, the prayers for them, and then obviously that encouragement that they need to stay faithful to their beautiful vocation.
Excellent. And I see that we have a couple more pledges is coming in, but I don't see the amounts yet, so I can't give you that update. Let me look on this other page and see if there's anything over here, but it's a Mary and an Ann and Bob. So I don't know if that rings a bell for you or not.
Mary, Ann, and Bob. Are you sure it's not Joseph and Mary? Because I know those two.
You know those two? No, I don't think so. Not this time. So let's see if I can get over here. Nope, nothing. I don't think there's anything over here.
I would like, if I might talk 1 or 2 minutes very, very briefly on marriage. Marriage is something that has been very near and dear to my heart over the last year, as I've been working very closely with Daniel West at the archdiocesan level, and Amy Daniels now, who's moved on to the Raleigh Diocese, I believe, but it was very, very close to her, in trying to figure out how we might support the Archdiocese in supporting and renewing marriage, which is absolutely critical. I've worked with Daniel on a number of occasions. We within Regnum Christi have a kind of a layered approach to supporting marriage, from pre-marriage to post-marriage to renewal marriage to lots of different ways, small groups from married couples. But I wanted to say that because we need to think more and give more time and attention, not just to vocations of the priesthood, but to the vocation to marriage. And I say that because if we don't have holy marriages, we're not going to have holy families, and therefore we're not going to have vocations. It's simple as that. If I look at the vocations that have come to the legionaries, at least from here in Atlanta that I know of, and there are a number of young men who are in the seminary now, these young men come from faith-filled marriages and families. And if we can leverage marriage and family and get that marriage to shine like God's calling it to, you know, marriage is, in these times, is not easy. Every vocation has its struggles, right? But if there's some dedication to that reality, I think there's going to be great fruitfulness, not just for the family itself, but as you've already asked about the vocation to the priesthood and beyond.
Excellent. Really, really good message. And you know, it really does start with marriage. It really, you know, that's the way we get future priests. That's the way we get future religious. And that's the way the family is formed, is it hopefully in the family.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
It starts
yep.
there
yep.
anyway.
So, and you can find out about that work on RC Atlanta. It has all our marriage work, all our retreat work, all our anything at all with spiritual direction, anything like that, rcatlanta.org. You can find out info there.
All right, so we only have a couple more minutes. I'll give out the number again. I don't have an update. I apologize. I'm waiting, but I am not getting the update on the totals for there, but I know that there are two more pledges. I'd love to ring the bell. I would love for one of those to be the person that gives us the $1,350 that we need in order to ring the bell. So we're waiting for those updates. The number to call, 478-688-4549, 678 or 678-688-4549. Give us a call, please. We have about two more minutes is all we have. And we are talking with Father Martin Connor. So please call in and help us to reach that $1,600 goal to turn it into $3,200 for Catholic Radio. We just need about $1,350 more. So that's all we need. Come on, somebody can do that. I know somebody can give $100 a month for 12 months or two people at $50 a month, and then we would just need $50 more, a one-time $50 pledge. Come on, give us a call, 678-688-4549. All right, so we want to make sure that we get your blessing to us here in the studio and out through the airwaves. Final thing that you'd like to share.
I'd just like to say that I pray, I have been praying every day since I found out about Quest, about the amazing work that they're doing. And I am a great advocate of Catholic radio because Reagan Christie members have been involved with Catholic radio for many years, especially up in South Carolina. Multiple channels, the miracles you were talking about and the stories are amazing through Catholic radio. So I cannot emphasize enough the good work that you're doing, that you keep on keeping on, and that we have a great rally of prayer. And I know the money's going to come. I know if the good Lord wants this, and I know it's so part of his will and plan to evangelize the world through radio that you'll get what you need.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And this one, I do have this, that Mary and Jim from Lyburn. What is it? Lilburn. Shout out to Father Martin for his great work in Atlanta. And they gave
a one-time pledge. Jim.
So that was, it still doesn't get us. We're still about $1,300 short. So, but we are grateful. You know, we're absolutely, and you're right. If the Lord wants this, he's going to provide. You know, people just need to listen. Yep. Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's calling you, call in and make a pledge. You know, there's so many charities that you can give to. Yep. There's so many really good ones. So. I know. I'm going over here. I'm sorry. She gets mad at
me. Final prayer. Father, Son, exactly. Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had in this hour just to talk about your great work, in so many people, so many marriages and families here in Atlanta, to the Legionaries, through Reagan Christie, through Quest, and the future of Quest. We pray that your blessing may be upon all those here in the station and all those who support this great initiative, and that the financial support may come from many, many generous hearts that are part of this project and want to benefit from its great work. So we entrust this prayer to you with great confidence, and we just remember and place this prayer in the hands of our Lord and finish with the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. 678-688-4549. Come on, give us a call.